Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to Native on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Brianna Kurtz. Each week, this show features a U.S. or international location and uses food and drink as a gateway to explore and celebrate the cuisine and culture of a place. Today, I'm happy to welcome award-winning cookbook author Najima Batmanglij. We'll be discussing her roots in her forthcoming cookbook, June, Persian Cooking Made Simple. So, Najima, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Hi.
I knew your name was going to trip me up, so I apologize. So if I pronounce it incorrectly, correct me.
Thank you for having me. I like your show.
Thank you. So before we dive into the cuisine and the cookbook, I just want to start out by establishing your upbringing. So I know that you were born in Iran, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about where exactly you were born and how you migrated over time and eventually became a cookbook author.
I was born in Iran and raised in Iran up to age 18, and I always loved to cook, and I wanted to become a cook, but my mother wouldn't allow me in her kitchen. She would say, go to university, get your education, you will have plenty of time to cook. So when I was 18, I came here for my college education. And after 7 years, I returned to Iran and handed my master's degree in education to my mother, and she allowed me in her kitchen. So I started serious cooking actually after my college degree. But I always loved to cook, and when I was in college, I wrote letters to my mother, and she sent me recipe through letters, and which takes, you know, at that time, it was 40 years ago, it took a long time. And also she sent me the package of the beautiful Iranian rice, long rice, very similar to basmati rice now. So that was the beginning of my cooking career. And then I got married and I was pregnant. When the Iranian Revolution took a very fundamental turn, my husband and I left Iran and fled, went to a small village in France. So then in France was the place that I became honest with myself and followed my passion, and I became a cook. And that's the story starts from there.
Well, and here we are today, and your latest book, again, June, Persian Cooking Made Simple. What does June mean, or what does the word mean, or what is it?
June means, in Persian, means life. It can be used in multiple ways, from a term of endearment after someone's name, very similar like darling, like I can say darling Brianna, or I can say Brianna June. And also there's an expression when, like a, very similar to bon appetit, we say nouche June, similar to bon appetit in French expression, means the dish will be enjoyed. So we use nouche June as well too. And also when you have a great excitement for something that you really love it. You said, I love it. Rather than say, I love it, in Persian, we say June. When you take a bite of something very delicious, you say June. Or when my son called me, rather than saying hello, I call them Juna. June means I give my life for this, for you. Well, so it's a very endearment term.
I like it. I think I'm going to start using it, and I think it's a great title for your cookbook.
Do you have any Iranian friends?
I do. I have quite a few of them, actually.
Yes, you can call them June, you know. What's their name?
Well, let me ask you, Persian cooking. Can you clarify for me, because, you know, lines on a map today and, you know, taking history into account, what does Persian cooking encompass?
What do you mean? I mean, what's the essential ingredient?
Well, you didn't say, you didn't call the book Iranian cooking, or you said Persian cooking. So I think, you know.
Okay. Let me tell you that, first of all, you can use Iran and Persia interchangeably because both refer to the same country. When I use for culture, I use Persian, like Persian cat, Persian miniature, Persian food. Mm-hmm. For the country, I use Iran. So that's you can, these days you can use them interchangeably. So I refer to food, Persian food, like Persian miniature, Persian cats, the same.
And do you think that, and I love that your book is helping with this, but that there's a certain stereotype of Persian cuisine in the U.S. today?
Yes. You know, most of the Iranians or Persian restaurant, they serve kebab.
Mm-hmm.
Kebab is only a small sampling of Persian dishes. There are hundreds of dishes. They're not kebab included. It's, even though kebab, because of marination, Iranian makes best kebab, but mostly Iranian dishes, we have hundreds of vegetarian dishes, which are lovely, which in my new book, I used a lot of vegetarian dishes. In the June book, I have many dishes. Of course, I have a kebab recipes, but many vegetarian dishes.
So trying to kind of break out of this stereotypical mold, how would you describe Persian cuisine to someone who just really doesn't have any idea of what it is?
Well, imagine a bowl of rice, but not any kind of rice, long, separated, saffron flavor, rosewater flavor, very subtle. You know, Iranian cooking is like Persian miniature. It's very refined. And then topped with sauce like pomegranate and walnut sauce on the top. Or rice with caramelized barberry, candied orange peel and carrots flavored with saffron. So Iranian cooking is very refined. It's very much, you know, Iranians love to eat raw vegetables and herbs, very much like Vietnamese. They serve a lot of herbs on the table. It's a platter of fresh herbs, especially basil, good Iranian basil, which is wonderful. It's different from any other basil. It's tender and aromatic, and you can just eat them raw. Mm. It's wonderful. So, and it's very much like Indian food, but less spicy, more refined.
I see.
So if you want to imagine Persian food.
Well, there's a couple of recipes in your book that I want to dive into. So what is a kuku? And maybe you can give me an example from the cookbook.
Kuku is a fluffy, light omelette. It's one of the ancient dishes, Italian, like Italian frittata, and the French, they make quiche, but it's a quiche without the crust, if you want to explain that. But kuku is, Iranian makes 100 kind of variety of kuku. It's a wonderful dish. If you give me a head of the cauliflower, which now is in season, with 6 eggs, I make a kuku with piece of Persian flatbread, I can feed 6 people very easily. Kuku is very economical, it's very satisfying and delicious. And more importantly, you can keep the kuku in your refrigerator for a few days. And it would, last long and taste very well. So that's kuku.
And then there was another one that I noticed there were quite a few recipes and seemed really interesting was koresh.
Yeah, koresh is some people refer it to stew. Please don't call them a stew because koresh is very refined. It's a kind of braise but we can cook it on the stove as well as in the oven. But usually they cook it on the stove. It's mixture of a little bit meat or fish, a lot of herbs, grains, fruits, and they cook it slowly. Iranians love to use fruits, dry or fresh fruits in their cooking. Actually, these sweet and sour dishes originated in one of the Persian courts a long time ago. We have reference of it. It was like 1,400 years ago. We know that. The Iranians love to cook meat in sweet and sour. And then there's a flavor in Iranian cooking that's very unique is grape molasses, which is a sweet agent. The ancient time, they use it for instant sugar, and then or instant sugar and honey, which gives such a subtle flavor to the dish.
Is it easy to find grape molasses in the U.S.?
It's Quraysh is topped with, usually served on the top of their plain rice in Iran. Which, and in this book, June, I have a lot of Quraysh is without the meat because one of my son is vegetarian. So I'm trying, this is a book really for this generation. My sons and their generation, they don't want to eat meat. They're interested in fresh ingredients. They don't want to spend so much time. So most of the recipe cooks less than 1 hour, and then they don't have too much of kitchen equipment, so they can use one pot. So that's the lot of vegetarian Quraishis are in this book.
That's the made simple part. And for people who are trying to cook out of the book and use some of those ingredients, like is grape molasses something that you could easily find in grocery stores
here? Yeah, in Middle Eastern markets you can find it. And I've been told in California, in Napa, now grape molasses is reduced grape juice. Mm-hmm. I've been told in California, in Napa, then there are some places they are making grape molasses because it's reduced grape juice. And it's wonderful sweet agents. That can be one of the contribution. I think Armenian in California they make that also.
Okay. Well, so I have a question for you that's not about a recipe, but this weekend I was making some of the meatballs, the fava, and and when they were delicious, but the recipe both for the meatballs and for the tomato sauce calls for turmeric. And which I love turmeric. We all know it's good for you, and it's a great spice to use in cooking. But I feel like everything is yellow now. So how do I go about not, like, I feel like my sponges and my plates and my sink has like a yellow stain. Like, how do you not have permanent turmeric everywhere in your kitchen?
Not using turmeric?
I don't understand
your question.
Like when you use it, it really, you know, your fingernails are yellow, your dishes turn yellow, my sink is yellow. So how do I get rid of that?
When you use your spices, darling, you should use spoon. When you measure it in a spoon and put it in a small bowl, as mise en place, make everything ready for yourself so you don't have to touch the spices.
Actually, but when I was mixing the meat with the meatballs, like with my hands.
Uh-huh, you used your hand. Oh, I see that. When you mix it, mix and match it. Okay, you can use some lemon juice, lime or lemon. Rub it in your half, cut a lemon in half and rub it. That will go away.
All right. I knew you would know the answer to that. All right.
Your hand is still yellow?
Oh, no, it's gone now. It's gone.
I think it will go away. I hope you didn't mix it too much because over-mixed meatball, it becomes dense. That's one of the tricks.
I read that in your book, and I don't think I over-mixed. They came out absolutely perfect. They were delicious. They were amazing, and I still have like half a dozen left, and I'm giving them to feeding all my friends.
We're talking about fava beans and dill meatballs that you can do with. You can replace turkey or meat with quinoa also.
The vegetarian option.
Yes, vegetarian option. What did I do with this book? This is a 75 recipe from my kitchen. which I use kale and quinoa in my kitchen. And so I'm making kale Persian way and quinoa. I cook my quinoa in saffron and rose water. So very much like I cook the rice.
That sounds delicious.
Yes.
All right. Well, we need to take a quick commercial break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be continuing our conversation about Persian cuisine and culture.
You still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
All right, we are back. I'm Brianna Kurtz, and you're listening to Native on Heritage Radio. And today I'm talking to Najima Batmanglij about her latest book, June, Persian Cooking Made Simple. So, Najima, we'll just pick up right where we left off, continuing with...
Can you call me Najmiya?
Najmiya?
Najmiya.
Okay, I'll try my best, I promise.
Yes, that's fine. There are variation of pronouncing it. My name is Najmi. Okay, go ahead. Brianna.
Well, at least you pronounce my name correctly. That's also very rare. So I want to talk about desserts next.
Okay.
I know I love desserts that I've had from this part of the world. Lots of honey and nuts and syrups and things like that. So maybe you can tell us about some of the sweeter items in your book and maybe some of your favorites.
Okay, I have a sesame brittles with honey, which is very simple recipe. You can drink it with tea. You know, traditionally, Iranians, the ancient Iranian loved dessert. Herodotus, the historian, ancient historian, said Iranian loved dessert, and they eat dessert after, they believe eating a little bit sweet after the meal, it helped them to digest their meal. And then we know that they served King Khosrow in 1600 years ago. They served baklava, almond paste with honeys and nuts. So Iranians were great dessert eaters. But nowadays we have a lot of dry fruits and fresh fruits served with tea. It's very important to drink hot tea at the end of the meal for Iranians. And they believe with having something warm at the end of the meal, it helps the digestion. And then dry fruits, it's lovely. You can get it in Middle East or Iranian market, which I recommend you should go. I forgot to tell you that Kalusian, Saadi's, and Nader food markets, these are all markets you can get ingredients. There's a dry mulberries, which lovely, or dry figs, dry dates that can be used with tea at the end of the meal. And I have a drink in my book they call Sharbat Sekanjabin. It's a vinegar syrup. Iranians use a lot of fruit juice syrup mix with crushed ice and add a lot of aromatic herbs in it, which this is the origin, they call it sharbat, which that's originated in the Iranians' kitchen in ancient time. But sharbat traveled and became sherbet, sorbet, and now shrub, which is very fashionable these days in the restaurant. That's the original of the sharbat. Iranian drinks a lot of sharbat as a sweet drink.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that.
And then you know that because ancient Iranian used to drink wine, and then when Islam came to Iran, gradually wine replaced with sharbat. So they came up with the new wine, which was made of fruit juice and syrup. So they are very good of making different kind of sharbat. And I have a list of all the sharbats, and of course a lot of herbal tea, because you know my mother was excellent cook, and she sort of she used a lot of home remedy and as a medicine when we were growing up. So there are a lot of different kind of herbal tea that they use it since ancient time in Iran.
And are you still able to travel back to Iran nowadays? Do you go back?
Actually, I have traveled. Last year, I was in Iran, and I hired a photographer and a driver. I traveled through all over Iran, and I record food of Iran. I cook with local cooks, because there are variety of differences between southern cook and cooking by the Caspians and central food. They have different kind of sour ages. It was fascinating. I cry all for 2 months. It was lovely. So that's going to be my next book, Regional Cooking in Iran. So I did. Yes,
that was
a lovely experience last year.
Did you notice any recent changes in food culture, especially since when you left Iran to now?
Yes, you know, since there is this desire for Western culture, because the door was closed mostly, you see a lot of passion for hamburger. They make their own hamburger. They make own ham version. The bun are large and a little bit lighter, and they make a fantastic pizza. But Iranian food, Iranian, they love their food. Even during the Shah, everything become modernized. Shah couldn't touch Iranian food because Iranian loved their food. Mm. It has become modernized. You see a lot of the presentation they try to is influenced by the European cooking. But I found that fusion, if it doesn't happen right, it becomes confusion. In United States or in Europe, if a chef is not really qualified, they create a confusion, and they better not touch the food. But some of the food, the contemporary American food, which they are being influenced by all the culture, some of them have fantastic talent. You love their food. You see a touch of cardamom, touch of cumin, rosewater, saffron in their dish, but they use it delicately and create a wonderful dish. So there are some changes, not much in Iran.
And are you seeing it happen in the reverse, where the West is becoming more interested in this type of cuisine?
I think Iranian food, Iranian way of eating, was from seasonal food, local food, simplicity. This is something that now is very much in America, as Alice Waters told us, you know, from farm to tables. But actually, Iranian has been doing this for many thousands of years. So if I see here, we are being, our food culture is becoming more interested in to embrace other foods. You know, when you look at when you talk to a child, you see that 12 years old now is experiencing sushi, Spanish food, Chinese, and Persian food. When I went to university here 40 years ago, you could not see that. You know, the more and more America is becoming interested in other foods and other ethnic dishes.
And more diverse, yeah.
Yes, more my diversity has become more in, as we say. But I noticed my son's generation, they are looking for fresh ingredient. They like to cook, which one something is something very new. The younger generation, they like to cook themselves. They like to cook. They make things simple. At the same time, tasty, actually. They get together, a lot of Iranians, they get together, they use my cookbook, they recite poetry from my books, they tell jokes from my books, and they eat and drink, as the Iranian always done.
So. Well, the book is full of great little anecdotes, and I mean, those all sound like good things, younger people cooking together and more embracing of different cuisines and cultures. And well, I do have to ask, speaking of kind of this complicated relationship with the West and how there's hamburgers and things like that popping up and around, but then also the West is also embracing Iranian cuisine. Here on Native, we are trying to take a more detailed look at current events. So I do have to ask you, do you think that the prospect of the Iran nuclear deal will help further along this kind of communication between the two cultures?
I mean, are you talking about food diplomacy?
Yes, sure. You can put it like that. That's fine.
I think if you like Iranian food, Iranian people, when I traveled in Iran, Iranian people are very kind. Iranian food is wonderful and delicious. And I, to my opinion, and I'm talking to chef teaching cooking, I think Iranian food is going to be one of the next big things. Because people, they know of all nationality, but Iranian food is becoming has become a secret, or is a mystery, and then a lot of people hasn't discovered. Food diplomacy, I think, is a good way to go.
I look forward to that.
Yes.
Well, Najmia, thank you so much for joining me. I could talk to you all day. There's seriously at least 20 more questions I didn't even have a chance to ask you. But when is the book coming out, and where can people find out more about you?
Yes, you can pre-order the book now from Amazon, but the book will be out in October 6th.
Excellent. Is there a website where people can find you in the meantime?
Yes, najmia.com. You can go to my website. They can get in touch with me. I answer any question. I teach cooking, so just keep working.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you again so much. And we are going to put some recipes on our website from June. And you can visit Native's page on Heritage Radio.
Are you going to put Fessa in June on the? Yeah, Fessa in June. Yes.
Yep. And I also want to thank, before we go, our sponsor, Fairway Markets. That's all for Native this week. Next week, I'll be discussing Ukrainian cuisine and current events with Olya Hercules, author of Mamushka, Recipes from Ukraine and Beyond. Be sure to tune in live right here every Thursday morning at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.